set.
Perfect, thank you. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining today's statewide Committee of Blind Vendors meeting. We have a lot to cover today, as most of you have seen on the agenda. In addition, I've submitted or forwarded to the committee several community college opportunities that we've been presented with that we need to go over and have a committee voting and determination on. So a lot of good stuff on today's meeting. We've been working over these past couple months to, hopefully be in a position to, provide future opportunities. And I look forward to today's discussions in addition to the future of the program. So with that said, we can jump right into attendance. And I'm going to start with Chairman Keith Haley. Are you in attendance?
Present.
Vice Chairman Rich Braccio?
I'm here.
Okay. Frank Roberts?
Here.
Okay. Dave Pelagi?
I'm here.
Sophie Ramirez? Angel Torres?
I'm here.
Randy Altagat? Brandy Altagat. Right. Amos Petorma.
Yeah.
And Karan Pajambi.
I'm here.
For agency staff, myself, Tyrell Sampson, is present. Director Carol Jenkins.
I am here.
And Tracy Morin is off today. Joel Garcia.
Present.
Right. Jesse Toll.
I'm here.
Nick Fienza. David Walsh.
Here.
Is there anyone's name I did not call that is on today's call?
Yolanda Zook.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. All right. With that said, we're moving right into the agenda.
Yeah, Shelly. That's what I said earlier. That's Shelly. I think
he
hears me.
Okay, perfect. All right. Moving into the agenda, our last committee call, I noted that we had a new agency director who comes by way of the Nebraska Services for the Blind. Her name is Carol Jenkins, and I've asked if she can join our call, this call, when she had a little more presence in the agency and kind of established her understanding of how Connecticut works. I didn't want to invite her to the last meeting, but I certainly think today's meeting is a great time to have Carol join and say a few words. Carol is, before she takes the mic, Carol is actually wonderful to work with. Just in the short period of time that I've worked with her, she definitely comes with a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge. She has great connections in with RSA and has really been a go-to person. It's been a great transition having Brian, retire out and having someone come in with experience has definitely been a godsend, to be honest with you, because it's almost like we're able to just keep moving in the direction in which we all want to move, and there's a nice support behind that. And in addition to that, there's someone coming with different perspectives and different angles to consider in the way we look to move the program. So I am definitely thankful for Carol. And with that said, I will give Carol the floor to have a few words.
All right, thank you, Tyrell. So I don't know if I've actually, other than Tyrell and some of the BESBE staff, I don't know if I've actually met, maybe Frank, any of the other blind operators here in Connecticut or not. I've met a lot of new people. But one of the things I did in Nebraska was I ran, and not just supervised, but I ran our BEP program there. And I worked really hard to grow the program, expand the program. But through that, I had very high expectations of my blind operators. And so the program here in Connecticut is really very good. But, you know, I'm excited to learn about all this stuff and maybe put my two cents in, you know, whether you want my opinions or not, I'll give them to you. But otherwise, I look forward to learning about the program, growing the program, and making it even better than what it is now. So, Tyrell, that was quick, but I know we have a packed full agenda and not too much time.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you. All right, so this is great, and certainly, you know, down the line, if anyone wants to have any, you know, one-on-one discussions with Carol or, you know, or of that type, you know, certainly, you know, run them through me or what have you. I can set up something. Just if you have any, you know, doesn't have to be concerns, just questions, whatever the case may be, use me as the filter to getting in touch with Carol, and I'm sure I'll be able to make that happen. And, you know, Carol will be more than happy to share any additional insight or answer any questions that any of you may have. So, with that said, we can move right into the agenda. I am looking for the committee to pass the revised copy of the last meeting minutes taken on 2/22/23. Do I have anyone from the committee to approve or deny those minutes?
I'll make the motion, but with one edit, I believe. Unless I'm not looking at the most recent, it looks like Nick Fienza is listed twice, once as an operator.
Okay.
And we either have to remove him or get rid of his license, one or the other.
the removal.
So I'll make a motion to accept the minutes with one edit.
Okay.
Anyone with a second? Any committee member, that is?
Dave Palazzo.
Rich, I'll second it. All right, Dave got in there first, so we have a motion by Frank Roberts, second by Dave Palagi. All those in favor of accepting the minutes with the one amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say no. Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Perfect. Thank you. As to date, we currently have 2 million. A little over $2 million, almost $2,200,000 in our funding. Can someone mute whoever that is? I'm going to disable their mic. As today, we have $2.2 million in our programmatic account. We are heading into year three of our 5-year contract with our statewide vending contractor, who is obviously Pepsi. Things seem to be strong. We are headed into a meeting next week with Pepsi to get the annual overview of business, in which we will then, at that time, learn a bit more as to their thoughts as to the strength of our contract. In addition, be able to relay any additional, you know, concerns. Not that we have any, but, you know, it's just a good Q&A. They offer it every year, and so this year, it's this time, so we're heading into that meeting next week. Should anybody on this call have any questions that they would like us to relay to Pepsi between now and, I would say, by Monday, please share those questions with me. I'll be more than happy to relay them to Pepsi during our meeting in hopes that we can get answers to any questions, concerns, or acknowledgments you may have. So that is on its way. Next on the agenda, another reminder, I'm looking for Schedule C's, retirement contributions, and business reports that are outstanding. I suggest if you don't have them in, to please get them in quickly. I think we've kind of maximized on our deadlines, and I just want to make sure that, again, the department that oversees the Schedule C's, or I should say not Schedule C's, but the retirement contributions, many of those individuals have changed due to retirement and so forth, and as we all know, for years, they've never hit us with the late penalties in which they could. And we don't want to shine a spotlight on our responsibilities and our agency, our, and specific our program, and then that now become a possibility, which could ultimately affect you all in paying what you should be paying. You should be paying plus a penalty, so please get your retirement contributions in promptly. Okay. Next on the list is promotion and transfer applications for the 2023 period. I did meet with the subcommittee, who was actually Chairman Keith Haley and Vice Chairman Rich Bracha, to go over the applicants for 2023. All 13 individuals who have applied were acknowledged to be in good standing, and with that said, that was a mutual determination. And with that said, I look for the committee to vote on an approval of that transfer promotion list.
Can you hear me? This is Keith.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so as Terrell just said, the subcommittee met. Everybody on the list met the requirements of the subcommittee. Is recommending to the full committee that we approve the list that is presented to us for the upcoming year. And I can accept that, unless someone has discussion or questions on that, we can do that via a motion. No questions. All right. Rich, since you were on the call, if you want to make the motion, you're part of the subcommittee.
I'll make the motion to accept the promotion transfer as it says.
All right, then I need a second from a committee member.
Frank Roberts, second.
Angel, second.
Take Angel.
Frank Beach, Angel. motion made by Rich Bracha and seconded by Frank Roberts to accept the promotion transfer list for the upcoming year. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say no. Any abstentions? Then the motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Moving along on the agenda. This is something that I wanted to start last meeting, and that was the operator spotlight. This doesn't discredit anyone outside of this one individual that I'm just spotlighting. I've noticed, and I will talk about this further down on the agenda. However, I did want to put a spotlight on Mike Heaney and the field rep Joel Garcia and the operation of his location. Mike Heaney runs the Connecticut Valley Hospital gift shop. It was closed for a period of time due to COVID, and in turn was able to resume just, I think, early last year, late last year. But prior to his opening, Joel and Mike kind of identified some areas in which, you know, moving forward were necessary to ensure profitability of the operation. Joel and Mike did some researching in regards to comparing pricing at their facilities in comparison to, you know, local locations to ensure that their pricing, you know, post-COVID was in line with, you know, all of the price increases that had occurred during COVID. In addition, Mike had requested to have some Keurig coffee machines added to the facility in replacement of some older units that weren't quite functional, which has significantly increased his profitability. At this time, Mike and Joel, the field rep, are working on looking for local ice cream distributors to also add as an additional item of offering at the location to, again, further increase sales. His sales have dramatically increased in comparison to last year, and it's a good sign, essentially. And you know, it's just something that I wanted to highlight. You know, good job to Mike and Joel for, you know, working on this. And again, it doesn't discredit what's being done with other operations, but it was just the increase in gross sales that really stood out from some of these opportunities. In addition, the resumption of some of the patients that are now allowed to resume patronizing his location. So I wanted to highlight that, but I also just wanted to use that as a reminder and a platform to, again, you know, work closely with your field rep, you know, take the advice of the field rep, try these things, you know, and just whether you feel it may or may not work, just give it a shot. This way you have a definitive outcome other than, you know, walking away with the possibility. I think we're in times where, you know, when we're looking at situations, we really shouldn't want to be in the possibility end. We want to be on the, I've tried it and this was the outcome. I think, you know, when you always incorporate new items into any location, it could be, you know, it could be a high hit for maybe short term or long term, but chances are it will definitely resonate to positive outcomes, you know, in the short term. And then you can kind of make the determination from there if you should see that item just, you know, suddenly dwindle down and now costing you product, then certainly you can remove. But don't give anything, no possible opportunity a shot, just on this mindset of not thinking it's going to work, because you all have a captive audience pretty much. And so I'm pretty certain that anything you use to expand your opportunities will be beneficial. So keep that in mind. So that's the spotlight. Mike Haney. I wanted to now talk about the community colleges. I've been approached by the administration of the state college system. This is the new restructure of Connecticut colleges. They now have one administration from the state to community college level. And with that said, a lot of positions have shifted. A lot of people are now doing jobs that they've once never done. There's just been a big change in the college world. And with that change, there is a direct focus on the food operations at the colleges, on the community college. And not only is there a focus, there's a strong concern about the future of these over-the-counter cafeteria locations. So much so that, you know, it's weird, prior, I'd say maybe a year or two ago, when we've reached out to several community colleges, they say they really didn't want any part of our offerings of micro-markets when we kind of identified the possibility then. But now there is a strong interest of these potential opportunities. So much so that the current food service contracts in many of the community colleges are set to expire June 1, I believe. They were 5-year contracts, and I believe, they, no one said this flat out, but I believe there is no interest from any of the existing food service operations currently supporting the colleges to resume beyond their contractual period. And the main reason behind this, and it's not all the colleges, but the ones that I sent, is because during the period of COVID, there was a strong subsidy being offered to many of the community colleges, not to include Rich Brodge here, by the way, but many of the other community colleges were getting subsidized. And so, you know, the college was nice enough to share some of the financials that they did have, in which, you know, identified subsidies being paid. And so I immediately recognized that and questioned them in regards to, is that something that's going to resume post this existing contract? And I got a definitive no, it will not. So looking at the numbers, it was very clear and very easy from an administrative point of view that these operations did not warrant resumption past the current contracts in the manner of over-the-counter facilities. We have had direct communication with two community colleges, Quinebaug Valley, in addition, Middlesex Community College, who has directly reached out to us and inquired about the potential micro markets. At this time, Quinebaug Valley has strong interest in having a micro market set up. And in addition, Middlesex seems to be on the fence, which wants for, well, I don't really know. I'd say they're on the fence because I got an email today, so they're on the fence. But it could certainly lean towards their request being solidified with interest. Keep in mind, we did recently waive Middlesex when Helen Schrammick retired. We waived it as over the counter while retaining the vending. So that waiver remains should the Middlesex community want to continue to seek out food services beyond the scope of the micro market. But they appear to have interest. And I believe, should the committee make the determination that, yes, indeed, these locations in which we're going to talk about do not pique the interest of our program, the community college administration would potentially come back and ask us if we had any interest in operating as micro markets. The one thing that I'm comfortable doing, which always makes sense in my world, is waiving opportunities that are not viable. And the one thing I'm not keen on doing is waiving opportunities that are viable. So, when we're looking at these situations that come up, I don't expect existing operators in our program to have to grab everything. So, what I mean by that is, there's going to be a point where some things may or may not interest you. Some things may interest you, but you do not have the means of transportation or the skill set to, execute such responsibility, and I get it. But knowing that majority of the operators on this call have been in our program for some time and have lost, significant wages due to COVID, like many food service operations throughout the country, it is nice to, be able to potentially offer opportunities in which, if presented right and structured right, could offer zero risk opportunity. And I think that may be an area in which our program is headed. So it really comes down to existing operators and understanding that the time is now to maybe, establish your means of transportation if that was once a concern, so you're not one of these folks missing out on some of these opportunities that appear promising. So with that said, obviously if we can't, successfully establish these opportunities through promotion and transfer, and then, within our program of operators that may not have been on promotion transfer and extending it out to VR, that's certainly the goal. Because the goal is to do two things in this program. It's one, to increase profitability to those operators existing, in addition to expand the program when we can. So it's a twofold goal, and that's kind of where my mindset is going forward. So with that said, Three Rivers Community College, and I'm just going to name these following five colleges. Oh, I said four. Three Rivers Community College, Housatonic Community College, Capital Community College, and Naugatuck Valley Community College were all colleges I had forwarded to the committee to review the information that was conducted by Phil Rep David Walsh prior to today's meeting to make a determination of interest. From the administrative side, with no subsidy, none of these locations appear to be profitable. But I'm asking the committee to make a determination or state any questions in which I hope we could answer, even though I asked all questions to be asked prior, but maybe we'll be able to provide answers to something. So I'm going to push this to the chairman for discussion.
I believe everyone got the email that Tyrell sent with the numbers of each college. Some were subsidized, some weren't. The ones that weren't didn't do well at all, and the ones that were still didn't do that great. So I don't know if anyone has any questions based on the email he sent out to us, or any further comment of any sort.
Yeah, it's Dave Pelagi.
Go for it.
What about Gateway? Did you mention Gateway at all, Tyrell?
No, I'm going to talk about that shortly.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll talk about Gateway, yep.
Okay.
Frank Roberts here. Just a quick question on the community college micro markets overall. I'm going to paraphrase here. I don't want to say I'm quoting somebody, but I believe when you spoke to Servomation, which is the third party a lot of our operators work with, I believe it was something to the effect of, we like to help, but when it comes to going into a college, that's a little bit beyond our ability. I think the concern was shrinkage at these colleges. Is something to that changed?
Yeah, so yeah, a couple things. One, I want to be clear on one thing when we talk about offering micro market opportunities. I do want to say, you know, when we look to advance in these areas, we do speak to Servomation to gather thoughts and ideas and you know, hear their perspective on such opportunities. But I want to be clear, if an operator should choose to operate any location, we are not mandating, I am not mandating that you go with Servomation, whoever you might want to go with or want to self-fill. I just, you know, we think looking at big picture and looking at loss versus profit, it's always the mindset in today's world to link up with someone that can provide opportunities in which do not cause financial risk. So I just want to be clear on this with the potential opportunity. I want to lay that out there. But to answer your question, Frank, I think things have changed. I think there's just so many colleges, and it's just not in Connecticut, throughout the country, in conversations, in reading reports, that are closing their over-the-counter food services and going this path of extension of opportunities with the micro markets. Shrinkage is no doubt a concern, but in the place, and I can speak on Servomation because I know their philosophy, there is a loss factored into their pricing. So they, you know, it could be anywhere from 3% to all the way up to 9%. Depending on what they observe as theft. So there is a cost or an absorption of any theft in their pricing. That's clear to anyone that we speak with. We did have a meeting down at Quinnebog in regards to that, and that's told up front. There's no secret behind it. It still allows for a nice price point for their products, but there's no secret. And with that, if theft is identified greater than the percentage that they feel comfortable marketing their items, then they'll just pull out. So, you know, again, when we talk about here providing opportunities that offer zero risk, you know, when you go with a company such as Servomation, and again, you know, if an operator wants to go with some other, you know, local company or wants to self-fill, by all means, you can do that. You know, I'm not in the position to stronghold anyone, but we've just found that this company here gets it, and they offer all of the items in a one-shot deal, and, you know, just seem to have the workforce. Because that's really what it comes down to, is, you know, whatever you do and whoever you select in any business opportunity, you, and especially in partnership, you want to make sure they have the workforce behind their brand, because that's what's going to keep your nose clean, keep your offering at an expectation of happiness. So Servomation has just been identified to do that. So that's why a lot of times when we have these discussions, it's with them, because we know they have the position to do that. But yeah, to answer your question, they now have interest. They've actually set up some micro markets in Massachusetts at community colleges. So they're already up and running doing that. And it appears to be viable opportunities in which at this time do not concern them for long term offerings and expansion in that area.
You have no concern if someone did go with another third party? Servomation is through Pepsi, has their first right refusal in these buildings to be there for vending. You don't think there would cause any sour grapes, the vending being Servomation and the micro market being someone else?
You don't have
to. You can't tell an operator who they go with.
Not at all. And so, with that being said, you know, the